This is our third teaching on the ministry of angels. I want to start by saying that the purpose of the series is not to encourage you to desire to see angels. That wasn't the idea. It was for you to inspire you to believe that angels have been released to minister to you by God. So that's the most important thing. I want you to know that angels have been released to minister to you and to help you. Now, I'm going to say some things this morning, and I really just want you to sit tight and try and listen with your heart. Please do your best not to get offended as I go through the teaching, all right? The idea is not to offend anybody. The idea is to help and to bring healing. So listen carefully. Although angels are celestial beings with supernatural powers and abilities, it doesn't mean that they are free to use those powers and abilities at their will, just because they have it. So it's very important to understand. They, angels, are given assignments by God, and they are faithful to fulfill those assignments unless we interfere and inhibit them from doing what they were supposed to do. Okay, you hear me now? All right. So yeah, we could actually prevent them from doing what they're supposed to do. Now, God, in his sovereignty, has limited himself to his written word. He cannot violate his word. If he did, he would be a liar. If he's a liar, becomes a liar, he'd have to forgive Satan, the original liar. So God cannot say something contrary to his written word. For example, if he's in the word, he says, I am the Lord that heals you. Unless it says in the book, I'm also the Lord that makes you sick, then you cannot assume that he is the God of sickness. Because it's not in the book. In the book, it says he's the God that heals you. Therefore, he remains and always will be the God that heals you. And if in your mind you think God made you sick, you need to correct your thinking. Do you understand? Because if he did make you sick, then he would violate his written word and become a liar. So that's what I'm trying to say. I don't want to offend anybody, but I do want to share the written word and the truth with you so that we can move forward in the things of God and bring you to a place of deliverance, bring you to a place of healing, bring you to a place where God's power is at work in you. Now, the angels of God have the same restrictions. Just the same restrictions. They cannot violate God's word. They cannot. Even if they've been given an assignment from God and they're following on that assignment, we can prevent them from fulfilling that assignment if we are violating God's word. Are you listening carefully? An angel cannot bring to you what God has promised if you are in violation of his word. Because God would be violating his word through the angel to minister to you. I could stop right here and go home. So, now we're going to go a little deeper and might be a little touchier. Let's talk about guardian angels for children. There's a scripture that Jesus gave us in Matthew 18, verse 10. He says, see that you do not despise or think less of these little ones. He's talking about children. For I say to you that their angels in heaven are in the presence of and constantly or continually looking upon the face of my Father who is in heaven. Now, it's $100 for building fund. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. One winter's day, Jackie was doing some errands, and Cindy was in the car. She was about 3 years old. She pulled up in front of the dry cleaners, and she was just running to get the dry cleaning. And she pulled up, and literally there was just a sidewalk of about 8 paces. And she parked right in front of the dry cleaners. It was cold. She didn't want to take Cindy out. She ran down the window, real big, real open. She ran into the dry cleaners, left Cindy in the car. She came out, 5 minutes, she came out, and Cindy was gone. She panicked. She ran up and down the street, frantically calling her, when suddenly a huge black man came walking down with Cindy, holding her hand. Walked up to Jackie and said, "Here she is." She climbed out the window and gave her over and walked away. Whether he was an angel or not, I'm not going to say. I can't tell you. All I know is perhaps God sent somebody who sent an angel who got somebody to help. That's what I'm saying. But she was safe and returned. How many children do you know that have not been returned? Okay? I'm just saying this. And please listen, if somebody close to your heart, somebody that you know has been hurt as a child, my heart goes out to you. So please listen, and maybe you'll be able to help other people. Now, where we live, Virginia, was a pretty safe place. It was only a few thousand people, so she really wasn't in much danger. Now, guardian angels, according to the scripture we've just read, bring reports back to the Father of the children that they've been assigned to. So they do travel between earth and heaven, and then they are in the presence of the Father. They communicate with the Father the whole time and give reports on the children. So now, hear me carefully. Not every child is saved. And now let me explain. Because you probably know some children that weren't saved. So let me explain. And hopefully this will help you understand. God never prevented Pharaoh from killing all the male Hebrew children when Moses was born. But he saved Moses. When Jesus was born, God did not interfere or prevent Herod from killing all the male children, Jewish boys, 2 years and under. But he sent an angel to Mary and Joseph to warn them so that Jesus would be rescued. Correct? Okay. So we have the situation where God did something and he didn't do it for other people. God is God in that situation, and I'm not going to try and explain, but I want to say this to you. This is not heaven. This is earth. And certainly at that time, Satan was running around creating havoc unchecked. Literally could take people's lives and kill people whenever he wanted to. He had the authority on the earth to do that. Remember that? But since Jesus died on the cross and regained and took back the authority and handed it to the church and gave us his name to use it, he has now given us that authority to use his name, and he has gained the victory over the tyrant, and he has now put us in a place where we can, in Jesus' name, enforce the victory and bring deliverance and bring protection if we knew what we had to do and how to do it. So things have changed. We have now been given authority over the tyrant. Amen? Amen. However, sickness is still in the earth, is it not? And so is sin. And here's the problem. Satan still has access to sinful man to perform his atrocities. Satan has not been lifted off the earth, and nor has he been struck powerless in the sense that he can't convince somebody and get them to listen to him. So, having said that, understand that angels don't automatically deliver children out of their situations. Whether they are in the womb, or living in a tyrant's home. Now, let me just say this. Any child that dies under the age of accountability, i.e., all the children that died in Pharaoh's murder, all the children that died in Herod's murder, are all in heaven, and every aborted child is in heaven. They died under the age of accountability. So while we might grieve for their loss, if you're not on your way to heaven, grieve for yourself. Because they're in the presence of the Father now. You with me? Okay. Now, parents who know what I'm talking about now and get this revelation and this understanding will be able to protect their children, get them healed, and keep them alive. So please listen carefully, because what I'm sharing are for those who are here today, for the now in your life, not the yesterdays. This is for the now. This is what can I do today for my children or my grandchildren, okay? So please, parents, listen, and let's apply the teaching that I'm sharing with you. One Sunday night, we were on our way to the evening service. And on the way there, Jackie suddenly got the sense that something was wrong at home with our children. We stopped, we turned the car around, and we headed home. And we had childcare at our home, but what had happened is one of the neighborhood boys had come in and was visiting. And when we got home, he was trying to molest Cindy. And we were able to stop completely anything happening. Angels are there to protect and to help and to give guidance. If you hear them and hear the voice, then you can save. And also, bear in mind, we had already been practicing the truths that I'm sharing with you now. We had been living those truths, and the way to bring angels to release angels in your life. If you listen today, you'll get this truth, and it'll change your life forever. Angels are here to protect us. According to Psalm 91 and verse 11, Bible says, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." One day, Jackie was driving to go and visit her sister across town. And she put Cindy in the back seat. Cindy, again, about 3 years old. And we, back then, those many years ago, were not as clued up about safety and safety belts and stuff as we are today. There was no laws against not strapping your children in. There was no such thing as, you know, special chairs to put the kids in, all that kind of. We were kind of barbaric, I suppose. But anyway, back in the Stone Age. So Cindy had pulled down the armrest in the back seat and was sitting in the armrest, just driving along like the queen in the back. Jackie pulled off from a stop street intersection when suddenly a car came down from the left-hand side, went through the intersection without stopping, and T-boned them on the side of the car. Jackie had a few bruises. She was a little shaken. But Cindy was knocked completely across inside the car because she was not tied down at all. She was wearing a onesie, but she had no bruises, no cuts whatsoever. Yes, she was crying. It was a traumatic experience, and she was shocked, but totally, absolutely protected. When she turned 13, I think, her angels actually said, "Do you mind if we swap out for a while? Could somebody come down and take over? It's just like, she's kept us so busy." I don't know for sure, but I think that maybe that's what happened. Angels guide us, guard us, and protect us, and they go to battle for us. There's an incident where God actually told Moses, right when he was giving the law in the book of Exodus, he says to him, "I'm going to give you an angel, and this angel is going to go out because he's the God of angel armies." Amen. Do you love that song? Yeah. "I'm going to send the angel ahead of you, and this angel is going to protect you. He's going to talk to you. He's going to give you guidance and so on, so that you can overcome all of the nations in the land of Canaan to which I've given you." So pick up the story in Exodus 23 and verse 20. "Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared." Remember that. God is sending angels to help you get to the place that he's prepared for you. Now, verse 21, "Be aware of him." Beware of him. "And obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. But if you shall indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies, an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel shall go before you to bring you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and all the other ites, and I will cut them off. There's a bunch of ites in this place, okay? Now, here's the thing. Notice that Moses was warned not to provoke the angel. How was he going to provoke the angel? By disobeying his instructions. They would provoke him. He said, don't provoke him. Now, notice it says here, the angel will not pardon your transgressions. Transgression is a big word for sin. Well, first of all, angels can't forgive sin. So what is he saying? Angels can't forgive sin. So what is he saying? Angels won't. The transgression was, is that if you are not doing what I'm telling you to do, you're transgressing, and then the angel will not be able to do for you what I've assigned him to do. Because he can't operate beyond, can't climb over, can't get beyond the transgression that you're causing. All right? So you have to obey the word. Now, disobedience, what I'm saying here, disobedience to the word immediately binds your angel from fulfilling his assignment. You hear me? Okay, so obedience to the angel was obedience to God's word. Notice this. Would you go back to verse 22? Just back up to verse 22. Read this. It says, but if you shall indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be. In other words, clearly, angels are saying what God said. When that angel spoke, they were actually hearing God speak through the angel, because angels are divine messengers. They are saying what God said. So in God's mind, when the angel spoke, it was as if he was speaking, as if God was speaking. Because he said, if you obey his voice, then I will, and do all that I speak. God wasn't speaking separately from the angel. He was speaking through the angel. And God said, when you're hearing the angel, you're hearing me speak. And if you'll obey, then I'm going to do this for you. So angels speak the word of God. Now, angels are also sent to prosper our way. When Abraham wanted to find a bride, a wife for Isaac, he sent a servant, a trusted servant, to go and look for the bride, for his wife. And this is what Abraham said to the servant in verse 39 of Genesis 24. But he said to me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way. So whether we're aware of it or not, angels have been sent with us or ahead of us to prosper our way. Don't limit that word prosperity to the word prosperity. In the sense of financial. And it does include that, but it includes all aspects of your life that you would need to prosper in. I can't even remember how many times there was a divine assignment, a divine appointment that I had with somebody. It might have even been a stranger, who turned out to be an amazing help or support or bring me to a place that I wanted to be. Anybody? I'm going to tell you a story that happened when we were on the cruise ships, as you know, doing art auctioneering. This was after Jackie had the stroke. This particular cruise, our cabin was on the 11th deck, and we were right outside the bridge. The bridge door was right there on the 11th deck next to us, and we got invited to visit the bridge and to meet the captain. So sometime in the afternoon, we decided, well, let's go and do it now. And we walked in, and there was a VIP visitor there, Dr. Barth Green. And when we walked in and introduced ourselves and started speaking, he immediately paid attention to us, gave us his full attention, and said to us, can I come and visit with you when I'm finished my tour? I go, whoa, okay, fine. But he walked right in, he sat down, he spoke to us for a whole hour in our cabin. Well, Dr. Barth Green just happened to be from the University of Miami Medical Research Center. where he had specialized in pioneering research for 35 years dealing with spinal cord injury that caused paralysis. In fact, the late Christopher Reeves was one of his patients and had actually contributed a lot of money to the research program. And so when we got there, he invited us to come down to Miami to this medical research center. And so we went down there and we visited the center. They showed us all around. And then they said, we'd like you to go to the neurological section of us. And so we went there, had 26 neurologists on staff. And they offered us an opportunity to go through what was called the vision restoration therapy in the neurological department of this Miami Medical Research Center. So let me tell you what happened. It was done through a company called NeuroVision, and it was imported from Germany. It was a cutting-edge medical research. And Jackie was given a computer to use, or we used our own computer, and she was given some sticks to put in and some vision that she had to put on like this. And she had to do 2 30-minute sessions a day, where she locked herself in a dark room and just looked into this system and was able then to click when she saw lights and stuff. It was a very advanced system. Well, when she commenced this program, she had a 52%, let me give you the right words, normal visual field. So when she's looking at her field of vision, she could only see 52% of what she was looking at. After 9 months of this treatment, it went to 81%, including recovery of color. Now, Jackie at that time was already approximately, I'm thinking, 5 or 6 years post-stroke. And if you know anything about stroke recovery, after 2 years, there's no further recovery that occurs. So we're already 5 or 6 years into it, so there should have been no improvement. But not only was there improvement in her central vision, there was also a tremendous improvement of her peripheral vision. The Wall Street Journal did an article on NeuroVision and included Jackie's results in their report. She obtained the highest results that anybody had ever obtained in having done this. In fact, they normally last 6 months, and they asked her to go on for an additional 3 months. So now, our faith and God and medicine and a divine appointment. Are you hearing me? God will send angels you're not aware of to prosper your way, to bring someone across your path that is going to prosper you in some way. Believe it. That's what I'm asking you to do. Just believe it. Angels assist in answering prayers. I don't know if you're aware of this, but you know the story. It's a well-known story. I won't go into much detail of it, but you remember Peter was thrown in prison? And then the angel came and released him out of prison after the prayers of the saints. The story is found in Acts chapter 12, when Herod had apprehended Peter and threw him into prison, and he was delivered. He had 4 squads of soldiers around him, and Herod was going to bring him out around Easter time. But in verse 5, it says, prayer was made without ceasing of the church to God for him. That's critical. They didn't pray to angels. They prayed to God for Peter's deliverance. And the story is told from verse 6 all the way through down to verse 11, how an angel came in, his chains fell off him, he told him, get dressed, he walked out, and the doors on the way opened until eventually the final gate to the street opened on its own accord. And verse 11 says, Peter said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. All right? So, a very interesting thing that the people really interceded for him and prayed for him. And God sent an angel to deliver him. Now, here's something that you might not have read or noticed, that our prayers that are sent to heaven are presented before God on the altar by angels. So, we find this in Revelation verse 8, chapter 8 and verse 3. Another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hands. Interesting, huh? So angels help in the delivery of prayers. Angels also help in the answer to prayers. There's a wonderful story told about Daniel having a visitation of an angel. And I really want to bring this out to you because there's some things in there that happen that are Old Testament covenant, and we want to clarify what happens in the New Testament so people don't go back and get hooked up and lost in this story and don't understand that things have changed in the New Testament. So what happens in Daniel's chapter 10 and verse 5, Daniel begins to fast and pray and wants to seek God about when are they going to be released out of captivity, the Babylonian captivity. He said, I lifted my eyes and I looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with the gold of Ephrath. I know how to say this. Euphazi. You are Euphazi. You fuzzy little thing. His body was like beryl. His face was like the appearance of lightning, and his eyes like torches of fire. His arms and feet like burnished bronze in color. And the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. Now, some people will read that and say, well, that was Jesus. And the answer is, no, it wasn't Jesus. It was an ordinary angel. It wasn't even a high-ranked angel. It was just a regular angel. Now, what happens is Daniel sees the vision, and all strength leaves his body. He actually falls to the floor. And verse 7 says, my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Throughout this portion of Scripture, he's continually talking about how afraid he was. He was trembling. He had no strength. He could hardly breathe at the sight of this angel. Then the angel says something to him. I want to pick up the story in verse 12. He said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day, everybody say first day, that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself, that was the fasting before God, your words were heard. Everybody say your words were heard. So his prayer was heard from the first day. Have you got that? The very first day he began to pray and fast, his words were heard in heaven. And he said, I have come because of your words. Why did the angel come? Because of the prayer Daniel was praying. Because of the words he was praying, God released an angel to go and minister to him and to bring him the answer. You with me? All right. Now he says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael. Who's Michael from my very first teaching? The warring archangel. The warring archangel. Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. The kings of Persia are not physical kings, human kings. They are demonic forces that rule over cities and nations. And what happened is this angel came from heaven with an answer to Daniel and got caught up by these demonic principalities and powers, and they resisted him getting through with the answer. And he was caught there for 21 days. He had the answer for Daniel, but he couldn't get to him. Are you hearing me now? All right, now hold on. Until Michael was sent, the warring angel, to get him through and to bring deliverance so he could get to the angel. So, angels back here had to war. Everybody say war. And they had to fight to get answers, to get the answers to the people. Daniel couldn't get the answer because demonic powers wanted to stop the answer. However, Jesus defeated Satan, all principalities, all powers, and put them under our feet. He got the victory over the tyrant, and he gave us his name and the authority to use his name and his power so that we now have the authority and the victory over him. And when we pray our prayers, no demonic force can stand against your prayers, because when you pray, God hears and you have the answer in Jesus' name. Jesus' name is victorious over every demon spirit, whether in the heavenlies or in hell, doesn't matter. There is no reason for you to say, well, I'm fasting and praying for 21 days, but I know in the heavenlies my angel's trying to get through. Well, you're stuck in the old covenant. That's where you are. And where you are, Jesus hasn't got any victory yet. I feel sorry for you. You need to get on the victory side.
Amen.
You need to find out what Jesus has done for you and become victorious. Now, how can we, and we're getting to the climax, and I've left 3 minutes for it. How do we ensure angelic help, or how do we hinder their help? Psalm 103 and verse 20. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, listen carefully, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. The angels do his word, God's word, and they heed the voice of his word. Clearly, our words bind or release our angels. Our words. If we speak God's word, they are able to respond. But if our speech is contrary, we bind the angels from assisting us, because they cannot operate in opposition to God's word. Let me give you a simple example. Offering time comes around. You put the offering in. Cindy gives a wonderful message about how God's going to bless you. It's going to be a harvest. It's going to be a return. You go out during the week. The moment you put the offering in, you set into motion the principle of sowing and reaping. It starts immediately. Angels are released to get your harvest, to bring it to you. They're there to serve. They're coming to help. They're doing whatever they can to get it to you. All right? Something happens during the week, and you get a bill, unexpected bill, and you say, you know what? We shouldn't have put that money in the offering. We really needed it. So here comes your angel with the help, and suddenly, we shouldn't have put it in. We needed it because, you know, it never works for me. Are you hearing me? An angel cannot contradict God's word and bring you the return or the harvest while you are saying it doesn't work for me. He'd be contradicting God's word. Do you understand that? And you effectively bound your angel. Now, it's not only in the realm of finances. It can be in the realm of anything. You could say, you know, my children, when they go out, sure is not something going to happen. Problem is going to be something happening. Car's going to break down. Child's climbing the tree. Listen, Johnny, get down the tree because you're going to fall. The angel was just about to catch him. And now you said you're going to fall. And if you do fall, you're going to break a leg. The angel says, okay, break a leg. You think I'm kidding? Your voice, your words, either protect your children and give the angels opportunity to help, or they hinder and bind them from working because they can't work against what you're saying. Because remember, he can't forgive your transgression. He can't override God's word. Even though God wants to help, you limited God from helping. Now, you can't see the angels. You don't know this is going on. But I'm telling you. For 3 weeks, I've been trying to tell you. There are angels here today. Amen? There are angels sitting on your car outside waiting for you. Maybe when you start doing 100 miles an hour, they leave. And that's why suddenly it gets lighter on the road, because they've left. We need to speak correctly in the presence of our angels. Angels are about you. Speak correctly in the presence of the angels. If you will, they will respond instantly to our needs. You know, one thing there's so many things I love about Jackie, but one particular thing that I love, every time I walk out the house, it doesn't matter where I go and how long I'm going to be gone, as I leave, she will say to me, the angels have been commissioned. The angels have been commissioned to guard you, to protect you, and to bring you home safely. And they're watching over you in your car. Now, Jesus taught us how to engage our angels, how to get our angels to help. Are you ready to hear that? Do you want to hear it? How many want to hear it?
Yes.
That's not enough. All right, my time is up then. That is the end of the series. Okay. So let's go and have a look at what Jesus said in Matthew 26 and verse 52. Peter's just cut off the servant's, the high priest's ear, trying to defend Jesus. And then the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus is being taken captive. Peter, put away your sword, Jesus told him. Those who use the sword will die by the sword. Don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us, and he would send them instantly? But if I did, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that describe what must happen right now? Now, other references says 12 legion. Now, a legion was 6,000 men. So 12 legions are 72,000 angels. You know you need one. If those 72,000 angels come, people, there wouldn't have been a world left. Now, I want you to notice something. Jesus didn't say that he would speak to the angels and ask them to come. He said he would ask the Father for their help. See, Jesus also taught us to pray to who? The Father. Are we permitted to pray to angels? No, we're not. We're not. We're not permitted to pray to angels. So he told us to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And that's exactly what he said. The angels would come and help whatever we have need of. There is no scripture, listen carefully, there's no scripture where any person initiated a conversation with an angel. Everybody say initiated. Initiated. You know what initiated means? Started. Every angel that showed up surprised the person. Okay? Nobody said, I've been waiting for you. I called you last week. What's up with you? Nobody said that. Okay? They all were so shocked. They were dumbfounded, fell on the floor. They were like shaking, surprised, in fear. The angel showed up mostly unexpectedly. So nobody commissioned an angel. Nobody initiated a conversation with an angel. So what is Jesus telling us to do? We need to be very careful not to use or mistreat the angels by treating them with contempt. Remember our opening scripture that they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to us. The word minister is the word deacon, literally, to serve us in every single capacity. And what would you say to get them involved? You would simply say, thank you, Father, that you and your word have already released ministering angels to come and minister to me and my family. You understand that? I'm thanking the Father for the word of God, and that's what I'm supposed to do, and I can do that. So I can thank him for that. We are authorized to quote scripture. The Lord will send his angels, I can quote this, to prosper my way. Like I said, I could say that loud. I could say, you know what? You know, the Lord has sent angels to prosper my way. And God said, who do you think you are? Well, I'm a child of God, and he sent angels to prosper my way. Yeah, he sent angels to prosper my way. See, I'm not telling the angels to prosper my way. I'm saying God did it because the word said he did it. So I could say God has given angels the responsibility of ministering to me. I could say angels have been commissioned by the Lord to protect me and my family. There's nothing wrong with me saying that. I could say that to my children when they leave. Angels have been commissioned by the Father to take care of you, to guide you, to guard you. How different would it be if we could have started saying that when our children were little tiny tots or when they were in the womb? And we could start saying those things. We could say that. We're not telling the angels what to do. We are quoting and believing the scripture. My children are guarded and protected by the angel whom God has assigned. You see, they are commissioned of God to serve, to protect, to guard, to guide, to prosper our way, to minister to our needs, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to rescue us. They make proclamations and they give announcements of significance. They help us in praise. They help us in worship. They help us in answered prayers. If you'll be careful to speak God's word, they'll be quick to respond. Amen.